Our theme this year is giving thanks. And my question to you, as a student body and as an individual, are you a thankful person? Are we a thankful person? I mean, really. Do you give thanks in everything? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, in everything, give thanks. Do you give thanks in everything? I mean, really. Do you give thanks for a flat tire? Do you give thanks for a bill that you really can't pay, that you don't have the money to pay, and you're hoping it will be paid? Are you giving thanks for that? Are you giving thanks for a roommate that doesn't pick their clothes up, maybe doesn't even shower? I had one of those in college. Hopefully, we have to give thanks in everything, because you know what? It is not. There's no exceptions. There's no exceptions to giving thanks. And we can have the next slide there. There we go. There's no exceptions and there's no excuses. The Bible is very explicit in saying, in everything, give thanks. I don't know if you realize this, but sometimes we just don't take the time to think about it. The population of the world is 70.125 billion people. The estimated Christians in the world are at 2 billion. In the United States population, we have 316 million people. The estimated United States Christians are 243 million people. Now, this is people that just say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but they don't live, they may not live that way, they may not even go to church, but they say that they're a Christian. Evangelical Protestant Christians number 133,826. Now, independent Baptist churches across the United States, there's 53 million of us. That's a pretty small number compared to 316 million total. Do you realize what a small group you are? Now, out of high school seniors last year, there were 2 million. 2 million high school seniors. Of those high school seniors, there were 177,158 that came from a Baptist denomination. Of that 177,158, only 533 were going into some kind of ministry degree. Out of 2,533. Do you realize how blessed you are to be one of very few that have the opportunity to go to a Christian college? Are you thankful? Are you thankful for being here? Now, many of you, the next picture I'm going to show, many of you have never seen this picture. This picture is a place in France called Pointe du Hoc. Pointe du Hoc probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but there were 200 Army Rangers that scaled the cliffs of this place, storming the Germans during D-Day. And as I was over there, go to the next picture, please, I actually looked over the path where these Army Rangers had to come up. And it was like straight up and down. They had to come up on ropes. And they were being shot at as they were climbing up. And it was amazingly difficult for them to do this. But yet they did it. They were able to overcome. Out of that 250, out of the 250, only 90 lived to see the next day. Here's another. This is a monument for, there was two beaches that I saw. There was Utah Beach and there were Omaha Beach. And this is actually a memorial to the Omaha soldiers that gave their lives there. Now, as you look at this next picture, this is an expansive beachfront view of Utah Beach. Now, it looks very pristine. It looks very beautiful. It just looks very inviting. But on that same stretch of beach, 5,000 men lost their lives. There were literally thousands of boats out at sea landing on the shoreline. And this was, again, D-Day. This was a time the Americans, the English, the Canadians all got together and decided that they were going to overthrow Hitler. And the next picture you're going to see is actually the cliffs overlooking Utah Beach. This is where the Germans were located, and they were firing down on our boats and our army guys as they came up. And, you know, there were three different things that I thought about as I thought about, what am I really thankful for? There's many things that I'm thankful for, but the other picture, the next one is, you know, we have freedom here in the United States that nobody else has. Are you thankful to be an American? Are you really thankful? Because there's a lot of men that gave their lives just so you could sit where you're sitting today in a free country. I had the opportunity years ago to go to the country of Peru. I've had many opportunities to go on a lot of different missions trips. There was about 21 of us from a church, and we were there to build a seminary. And there were three of us guys. We decided to go to the beach. We were there in Peru, Trujillo, Peru. It's a coastal city, so we're very close to the beach. So we went there, and I decided, you know what, if I'm going to be here, I'm at least going to go up to my knees in water just to say that I was there. How many of you would have done that? Many of you would have done that? So as I got in the water, just walking around, the next thing I know, there were two of us, the youth pastor and myself from the church that I was from. The next thing I know, we are caught. We're swept off our feet. Now, I think at that point, I probably weighed about 200 pounds, and I was pretty strong at that point, and I never thought that anything could be strong enough that I couldn't handle in relation to nature, that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, for the most part. But so when I felt this grip on my legs that was yanking me off my feet, I was doing everything I could to fight it and to get out of it, but there was nothing I could do. Once you're off your feet, you have no leverage. I was swept off my feet. The other guy was swept off his feet. Next thing I know, we are out in the ocean, in the Peruvian Ocean, so far out that we could barely see the shoreline. And I knew as I was going out, I was a lifeguard, and I knew as I was caught in this that I was caught in a riptide current. Riptide currents are one of those things, it's like an hourglass, and you're sucked into this vortex of water, and then eventually you're spit out. So eventually we were spit out, but again, we're so far out to sea that you could barely see the shoreline. So I knew from that point I needed to swim parallel and then come back in. As I was swimming parallel to the coastline and thinking, okay, I think I'm okay here. Started making our way in. There had been a storm out to sea. The waves were about 5 to 8 feet. I don't know if any of you have been in those kind of waves, but if you're paddling, you see this huge wave behind you. So what do you have to do? You have to turn around. You have to go dive back through it before it takes you and tumbles you, and, you know, you're done. I remember one time I was a little slow. I turned around, and before I knew it, a wave had taken me, and I was tossed around so much that I didn't know which was up or down. And I remember saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I don't know if I'm going down or coming up. So finally came to the surface, grabbed a breath of air, went back down, came back up. I was out there for about an hour and a half. Now, the other guy that was with me, I lost track of. As soon as we got caught in this riptide current, he went one way, I went the other way. And I remember as I was coming in, my right leg cramped, my left leg cramped, and I knew that I wasn't going to make it in. I had about 300 yards left, and I was still in surf. I remember saying, Lord, okay, I guess this is it. I just am praying that I have three requests. I said, take care of my family, make this as painless as possible, and the last one is, you know, if you have something left for me here on this earth, I'm just asking that you take the cramps away, give me enough energy to make it in. And as soon as I prayed that prayer, you know, my cramps were gone, and I had just enough energy to make it in. As I came in, I crawled up on the beach, couldn't move because I had expended so much energy that there was nothing left. And as I looked over my shoulder, as I was coming in, I saw just first opportunity, I saw the other guy, and I saw a big wave take him under, and I thought, there's nothing I can do for him. You know, I can't do a thing. And eventually, he actually climbed up on the beach, crawled up on the beach, and we laid there for probably about an hour. Well, what had happened in the meantime, there was three of us. The one guy couldn't swim very well, so he had stayed on shore. He saw that we got sucked out to sea, so he went back into the missions compound and told everybody, said, they're done, they're gone. You know, I have no idea where they went. And so anyway, well, the missionary said, Steve Folks, I don't know if you guys know him. He's over at Baptist Mid-Missions, I believe. He was the missionary that was there. And they came back, they came out, and they said, we can't just not look for them. So they came out, and they were at the spot that we had started from, and we were about 2 miles down from where we started. And we had just started walking up, and they saw two little black dots, and they were wondering if it was us, and finally we made the connection and got back to the missions compound. And it was interesting to note that same stretch of beach since January, this was actually the middle of February, 16 people had died on that same exact stretch of beach because of the riptide currents. So, you know, anytime I'm thinking I'm having a bad day, I'm thinking, I shouldn't be here anyway. You know, the Lord has blessed me and given me the opportunity to be here on this earth and hopefully bless others and to encourage others as well. But it brought me back to this. No matter the reason, no matter the circumstance, no matter the struggle, no matter the trial, and no matter the testing, in everything, give thanks. And this statement is very true. This next statement is very true. Thanksgiving is the essence of Christian living and attitude. If you're not a thankful person, you are not, not many people are going to want to be around you, and I don't think you are blessing the Lord in the way that He has given you life to bless others. Now, I want to give you a couple illustrations of people in the Bible that were very thankful to illustrate the point. If you'll turn with me to Job, the book of Job, familiar passage to most of you, Job 1, 21 through 23. And we're just going to kind of hit a couple of these very quickly, so if you'll have your Bibles ready to go, we'll go right there quickly. Job 1, 21 through 23. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So Job had just lost everything. He lost everything but his wife. He lost all of his children. He lost all of his possessions. And yet he was still a very thankful man. Another one, Acts 16:25. We're going to kind of go back and forth, New Testament, Old. Paul and Silas, Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Okay, these are guys that are already shackled in prison. I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant situation, but they were willing to give thanks and praise the Lord for their situation. Acts 7, 54 through 60. Stephen. Acts 7, 54 through 60. When they'd heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran up to him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, giving thanks and even in light of death. Another one, Joseph, Genesis 50, 18 through 21. Genesis 50, 18 through 21. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear you not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. Ruth 1:16-18. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there I will be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more so also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that they were steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So even Ruth, in the midst of all this, was giving thanks, was very thankful for her mother-in-law and for the ability to go with her and to finish the course. Esther's another one. Esther 4, 14 through 16. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shalt there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights, or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Two more. Daniel 6:10. "Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being opened to his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he had done aforetime." Even though he knew that there was going to be a consequence to his prayers. David, 1 Samuel 17:34 through 36. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went in after him and smote him and delivered him out of the mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hands of the Philistines. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with you." So we can see that being thankful has been a part of our DNA, our history, as we have looked at these servants of the Lord. But we have we have some interesting quotes that I would like to focus your attention on. Hopefully you can see those. A.W. Tozer: "Perhaps it takes a purer faith to praise God for the unrealized blessings than for those we once enjoyed or those we enjoy now." Dietrich Bonhoeffer: "We pray for the big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary, small gifts." Ralph Waldo Emerson: "Cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you and give thanks continuously. And because all things have contributed for your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude." Now, being unthankful is the very essence of an unregenerate heart. Unsaved people in this world fall into three categories of thanklessness. The first one is, life is a result of luck. Some unsaved are those that go through life thinking that all good things are just things that happen out of luck. It is easy for a person to become bitter and complaining because life has a sour meaning. Even though this group does all it can to manipulate the lucky factors of life, they are unsuccessful, and so they have no thankfulness at all. You can't thank luck, since luck has no control over itself. The other one is being a fatalist. Don't necessarily think that luck is in charge. They believe that there is some cosmic force out there. There is some certain inevitability that is preset, maybe by the stars or some aberration in their own thinking. They are forced down this track, and they are fatalistically reluctant to accept what is utterly inevitable and unchangeable. There is no one to thank. It's just a nameless force and an unidentifiable movement that has no personality, and so there is no one to thank, good or bad. Just the way it is. The last one is positive thinkers. Positive thinkers, these people believe that they can somehow control life. They usually are successful people, attribute their own skill and ability to their place in life. Everything good or bad is a result of them making good or poor choices. They have it all planned, arranged, schemed, dreamed, orchestrated, and have made it happen themselves. They are the self-made man. All the credit goes to them. After all, what did God do? What did God have anything to do with their success? So that's how a lot of unsaved people look at their life. Next verse. This verse we're going to read together. Are you ready? Here we go. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks in everything. Colossians 3, 15 and 17. Now there are three, in the very first verses that were read, that Michael read, there are three things that are mentioned there that highlight the character patterns of a thankful life. The very first one in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is joy. Are you a joyful person? Do people enjoy being around you? The next one is prayer. Are you a prayerful person? Do you pray for those around you? Do you keep things in prayer? And the last one is being a thankful person. These are characteristics of a controlled Christian life. 1 Corinthians 5:18, again, giving thanks. So we've talked a lot about thanks. We've talked about several illustrations of thankfulness from the Bible as well as some personal illustration. So what is the impact of a thankful heart? The very first one is godliness, because we are aware of His presence. So being thankful, this is the essence of godliness. Submission to His will is the next one, even when we don't understand. There's so many things in our lives that come up and we don't know. We just have to trust and rely on the Lord that He is faithful and sovereign and will take us through this trial. Another one is a reminder of our dependence on Him. Joy and contentment instead of fear and anxiety are also a thankful heart. Focus on God in difficult times. Transformation of our attitude towards others. I mentioned there were three things that came to mind. The last one I want to mention to you is this took place in Israel. I had the opportunity to go to Israel many years ago. And do you have that slide? There we go. How many of you have seen this picture before? Anybody seen this picture before? Do you know what it is? It's the tomb. And, you know, just being there, being in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we actually had a service there, which made it really interesting. And to know that that Christ walked in this area. He taught in this area as well, close to Jerusalem. Now the next one, you'll see, this is the actual grave site inside the tomb. But you know, the best part about being a Christian is the next slide. He is not here, for He is risen. We serve a risen God. Are you thankful? Are you truly thankful that you are a son or daughter of God? Does that manifested by how you act, how you respond to people, the things that you do, the places you go? So in conclusion, before I have something else for you, but in conclusion, what happens when you're thankful? God is glorified, you are blessed, and there is tremendous impact on the world you live in.